Marlowe slips off a check, moves down the wing, three on three, cross the line, rink wide, big shot, score! Devin Setoguchi gets the game winner for the Sharks at 3:09 of the first overtime period. That is the second greatest comeback in the history of the National Hockey League.
That from the San Jose Sharks Radio Network. Look, I'm squeezing for the Kings here because when... You know, when the Preds finish off the Ducks, we really want the Red Wings. We don't want any part of Vancouver in round two. You want to get them Red Wings in here. It's about time, you know, to give them their comeuppance. But that's not the point. The point is that last night, what a night for goal scoring in the NHL playoffs. 9 goals in Chicago, 11 in L.A. And keep in mind, you know, the over and under on these games are usually around like 5 or 6 goals. This is the equivalent of like 80 or 90 point NFL games. These are a 6-5 game in the playoffs in hockey is a 45-41 football game. For those of you that aren't paying attention, you need to go to TomAbraham.com and watch the highlights of this game. All right. If you're a puckhead, go there and watch it. If you're not, really go there and watch it because you'll want to get a little piece of this. This is how good these playoffs have been to get things started. Now we're joined by a guy he's one of the top analysts in the hockey business. You see him on TV all the time. He's on the Versus games. He's on the NBC games. He's all over the place. He's Darren Pang, and he's on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP Hotline. Darren, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I guess you're anticipating something pretty big going on here.
Well, tonight I have glossed this. I think it's the single most important hockey game in the history of the Nashville Predators to date, because I truly believe that I think tonight's winner is the winner of the series. Because this becomes a 3-game series with 2 in LA or 2 in Anaheim. Tonight's game decides the series. I truly believe that.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you on that for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, I played with Bob Murray in Chicago for the only 3 years I was in the NHL, and he was a defense on my team. I know him well, and I know there's a lot of things that go on in the playoffs, and the way in which he called out the Nashville Predators for diving, we'll see how everything gets called tonight, and we'll see how the game gets played. Does it get into the minds of players? I'm not sure, but. You have a situation where Nashville will go 3-1 with Pekka Rinne in the net and the quality of the defenseman. I give Pekka a lot of credit. I've got him as a finalist for the Vezina Trophy. I think the world of the way he plays, but he also gets a lot of help. I think it's a well-structured team, and with all that in mind, I think the top 6 defensemen of the Nashville Predators play a pretty steady game in front of them. But you go up 3-1, and you got that group of guys that are battle tested, that play a good solid 5-man unit game. I would agree with you. I would say that would be the series, whether it's the next game in Anaheim or obviously game 6 going back to Nashville.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, this would be, they took 3 of 4 from the Ducks during the regular season, so this isn't some incredible occurrence. So at this point in time, when you look at where they're at right now, they've taken, 6 of 7 games that there's, or 5 of 7 games that they've played with them. So I think they're in their heads a little bit. I think it's a good matchup for the Predators. They scored 17 goals in the 4 regular season games. That's more than 4 a game for a team that's about 2.6 or so a game normally, and now here they are in the playoffs scoring 4 a game against them. So it's a good matchup for them. Yeah.
Well, they're well coached. They play a hard game. They've got depth in numbers. They've got guys that play a real similar game. So no matter what line combination that Barry Trotz throws out there, they're going to play the same way. They don't cheat on the offensive side of the puck. They make it difficult on the other team's top players. And as good of a coach as Randy Carlyle is, which I think he's had an extraordinary season with the injuries that they've had to deal with and late in the season with their goaltending situation, I just think there's not a lot of teams like to play the Nashville Predators. It's the way they play. It's a great compliment. And if you're going to win a game against Nashville, it's going to be because of 2 things. It's going to be because your top-end players absolutely outworked their D and outworked their top-end players in every battle, and your goaltender is going to have to make a difference. And those are the 2 ways that you're going to be able to beat the Nashville Predators. And I've seen them play enough games. Love the way they play. And with Mike Fisher, too, getting some confidence on the offensive side of it, that makes an enormous difference.
He's had an impact on all the guys offensively, the young guys as well. And, you know, it just it adds to the leadership of, you know, Shea Weber, who's still relatively a young player. But Shea Weber, is the you know, he carries the C. But really, Mike Fisher, from all the guys we talk to, you know, they talk about Mike Fisher and how he's kind of, since he broke out of that little scoring funk that he was in after he first got here, I think the only one he had was one that went in off a shin or something for the first six or eight games. And then all of a sudden, he turned it on right at the end, and it's made a big difference. Having said that, and you talk about seeing the team, have you been in this building in the last couple of years, the last 3 years or so?
Absolutely, yeah.
Isn't it nuts? There, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a great barn. There's no question about it. And it's funny, you were talking before I came on about the Detroit Red Wings, that you want them. You know, I think the longer it goes, that's when you want that team. That's when, in my opinion, Nashville would want Detroit in their conference finals. Not right away. I think that that the Central Division is such a war. They know each other so well. You want Detroit to play as long as possible and have some of their players, their older players, get just nicked up just a little bit. The way that Vancouver played last night against Chicago, they're obviously susceptible to giving up some goals. They didn't play very well, and they played horribly, and now that could be a series, even though Chicago's down 3-1.
Yeah, it would be nice to see them extend it a little bit. It's just that I don't know if you know. I just don't know. I think the thing might end with Vancouver. I still think they're very, very good, and to beat them four different nights,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be a tough deal. Those guys are good. You mentioned earlier to Vezina and Pekka-Rinne came out earlier today that David Poile is again nominated for the GM of the Year along with Gillis and Stevie Y. You know, and I got to say, on the basis of just this one, Mike Gillis, what they've done in Vancouver, it's a tremendous year. Stevie Yzerman and what he's done in Tampa Bay, certainly a tremendous year this year. But dang, this is like five out of the last 6 years, or six out of the last 7 years that this Predator team has been in the playoffs. It's time for David Poile to be the GM of the year. I'd really like to see him get this one.
Well, it's great to have him recognized once again, and it's probably about time that Barry Trotz won Coach of the Year. Again in the last couple. The organization, you know, they do it correctly. They make sure that players go to the minors when they're not ready. They don't rush them, and they don't put them into a position based on draft pick, or they make them earn their way. There are always exceptions to that rule, but the players appreciate getting to the NHL. When they spend time in Milwaukee, they learn the ropes from Lane Lambert down there, and then they jump into the NHL, and they appreciate the charter jets and the great food and the $100 per diem, you know. And I think that's what, you know, David's done a great job of that. He made a trade when a trade was necessary by going out and getting Mike Fisher at that particular point. You know, he made a bold move and a big statement to his players by giving up. In my opinion, one of the biggest moves was actually trading Jason Arnott. And you know, I'll see Jason tonight. I'm in New York with Washington, and I like Jason and everything, but it's just that, you know, it's a different game with a different pace come playoff time, and replacing him with a guy like Mike Fisher is a significant move come playoffs. Matt Lombardi was supposed to be a player. It was really unfortunate. I know Matt very, very well. He's a terrific player, and he would be an unbelievable addition to the Nashville Predators for this playoff round. But no, I think David's done a phenomenal job, and same with Barry. I think as an entire organization, they should all be real proud of what they've done.
Darren Pang with us on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP Hotline, and you mentioned you're in New York tonight. I understand at MSG, it's just a quiet building with bad benches and bad locker rooms, right? Pretty much. There's no big deal over there.
Bruce Boudreau really stirred things up with that comment. I don't think he realized quite how this whole thing works by talking to a radio station in Washington, that there's actually this internet thing and this blogging thing, and then there's Twitter thing and Facebook thing. But I talked to Bruce Boudreau this morning, an old teammate of mine, and he said, I may have to wear a helmet and a visor on the bench for this game. But if anything else, you know what? It was a brilliant move, because at the end of the day, who cares what somebody says about the building?
Yeah.
He took some pressure away from his players, and no one today asked about any lineup changes. They were all talking about his comments and what he expects, and Mike Knuble's not going to be a player for him. So I think he took a lot of pressure off his players, and I think it was a pretty smart move. I have no problem with it. Right now, Madison Square Garden isn't a fun place. It's under construction. It is dumpy right now. It's a unique building because of where it is and the history that it's had. But boy, it's not real great right now. Let's just put it that way.
It's kind of Fenway-esque pre-renovation at Fenway. You know, everybody, when they were getting ready to tear down Fenway and think about making a move and everything, and people really said, yeah, you know, it's Fenway, but it's a dump, okay? And, you know, they were able to save it, and I'm sure that they'll do the same with Madison Square Garden. Speaking of gardens, the Bruins look to get things equal and evened up before they go back to their garden and in this series against Montreal. I have this sense, as I was watching this game, and I got to qualify this, I am a lifelong Bruins fan. When I was 10 years old, 11 years old, Bobby Orr went flying through the air against St. Louis when I was 11. So that's how you kind of become, you know, that's at that age where you adopt the team. I was looking for Italian hockey players, and I found Phil Esposito, and Bobby Orr was amazing. So I'm a Bruins fan. Having said that, I just got this feeling watching that game. The Bruins could turn around and run the table on this thing. I have the feeling that it could go that way where they could just get some momentum going and literally sweep four after losing those first two. What do you think?
It could very well happen. You know, the kind of mistakes that Carey Price made in game three, you know, being behind his net, playing the puck out front, having a cheesy goal go in, those are those kind of momentum deflators. Those are those kind of ones that it leaves a little question mark from the guys in front of them. So, you know, if Boston gets off to an early 1-0 lead and can build on that and make it a 2-0 lead, they've got big bodies. I don't necessarily like this matchup for Boston because Montreal is small, quick, really gifted. They've got great hockey sense led by Gionta, Camilleri, and Pokanets. But, you know, at the end of the day, if Boston can play with a lead, then they'll be in fine shape. If Montreal gets off to a lead again, well, you know what's going to happen is Boston's going to start chasing them all around. They're going to try hitting them, and they're not going to be able to do that. And Montreal's a well-coached team. And so that, to me, will be one of the keys in this game, is for Boston to get off to a lead and then play a good, solid, structured game. If this doesn't go well, I think your coach in Boston is going to be done, and there's going to be a lot of changes there in Boston because expectations are very high. And I know that Cam Neely, the Hall of Famer, you know, really feels that this team is ready to go, and he after all, is the president of the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that you may be right there. This would be a tough, you know, obviously we'll watch this thing so many times with Montreal, and to get eliminated by Montreal in the first round after coming into the playoff with this kind of expectation, it's just one of them things that's really painful. It's like the Yankees getting beat by the Red Sox. It's, you know, it's the Cubs getting beat by the Cardinals. It's painful, and, you know, anybody else but them. And so hopefully for their sake, they can get it back together and get it going. All right, Darren, we hope to see you, like, in the second round maybe, you know. We get one of those sexy matchups with the Red Wings. You know, maybe we, you know, get some games. You know, eventually enough teams get eliminated, and the Predators will have to be on Versus and NBC because there'll be nobody else left.
Hey, listen, I totally agree with you. You know, Pittsburgh and the Tampa Bay Lightning are two teams that they're not on, other than being on the CBC in Canada as well. So, yeah, things will change, and have no fear. Nashville will get their respect, that's for sure. And I look forward to getting down there and seeing my buddy Scotty Hamilton. Great season ticket holder, the Nashville Predators.
He, along with many, many others, it's a great building for star watching. You know, it would be a nice, you know, for the cameras to see all these people that come out. And Vince Gill is sitting at the glass side, and Underwood is there with all her friends watching her hubby play.
Absolutely.
And all that good stuff. So there's a lot of good vibe in our building, and it's a fun team to watch. You got gold medal winner, you got the silver medal winner on the blue line together. You know, there's a lot of fun things going on with this hockey team. So, you know, hopefully
no
they'll get some love, but you got to. Got to get through tonight. I really believe tonight's the night. So, all right,
absolutely big game, absolutely
huge. All right, Darren, appreciate you as always. We'll be watching.
Okay, take care. Thanks.
All right, that's Darren Pang with us on the Grand Avenue Chauffeured.